It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watch Series 7 pre-order started Friday, and not everything went as planned. We'll talk all about it. Apple offers a $100 cellular rebate on Series 7. The unlock with Apple Watch is fixed for iPhone 13 owners. The original Apple Watch is now a vintage product, and remembering Steve Jobs. Plus reviews of Foundation on Apple TV+, the new iPad mini, and Live Type. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 398, recorded Sunday, October 10th, 2021. Interstellar ordering.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, we're a little delayed this week. We just want to make sure we got all of us together. So we waited, but it worked out because now we're back on Sunday. So yay,
yes,
that worked out perfect. Absolutely perfect. Right up front here, okay, we are now, this is episode 398. So in a few weeks, we will be at 400. So I would like to hear from our listeners if you have any suggestions or comments for our 400th show. Send us your thoughts at comments@applewatchcast.com. We would love to hear from you. It'd be nice to get some suggestions on what you'd like us to do for the 400th show, and or just answer a lot of questions and things. Might be kind of fun. So that show should be, if we stick to the next week, fine. It should be Sunday the 24th of October. So episode 400. Last week was the 10th anniversary of the passing of Steve Jobs. And I didn't have a chance to talk to either of you about this, but it's kind of hard to believe. It's been 10 years. And now Apple did a really nice tribute to Steve on their website. It was a great video to watch. I know they've taken it down. In fact, I think they took it down like the next day, which I thought, you know, you could have not made it full screen, maybe smaller in the corner so people could still see it for the week. But anyway, it disappeared completely. But if you search on YouTube, search, you know, tribute to Steve Jobs, you can find a copy of it. It was pretty nice. A lot of still photos of him and some other stuff that was well done. And I think there's something there from his family, a message from them as well. Anyway, do you remember where you were when you first heard the news that Steve Jobs passed away?
I do. I was walking into the garage.
Okay.
At work. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, when you catch up on news and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On my way home, and I was like, whoa, wow.
Yeah. How about you, Chris?
I don't, Tom, to tell you the honest truth.
It's about 10 years. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember. I had dinner yesterday, but... I don't remember, but I do remember, you know, just quickly after that, you know, realizing how big it was, but don't remember the exact moment.
Yeah, I was doing a commercial shoot. We were out in some rural part of north of west of Houston or wherever we were. We were actually in a farm, someone's farm, and we were shooting a bunch of things. Yeah. Bunch of things for a client, and so it was a whole day, a big long day of shooting where you don't really keep in touch with news or anything like that. Got back in the car to drive home, got stuck in traffic, of course, because it ended, you know, the perfect time, and I'm pretty far from home. I mean, I'm probably looking at an hour and a half commute at this point. Sitting in bumper to bumper traffic, and it popped up on my phone notification on the iPhone, which, yeah, perfect. Perfect place to see that news.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, 10 years. It's wow. It's
a long, and he was 55 when he passed away, at 56?
Something like that, yeah.
So he'd still be relatively young at 65 or 66. That's too bad.
Yeah,
you know, The other interesting thing is that Tim Cook has been the CEO 10 years. I mean, that's another accomplishment. You know, CEOs don't last that long all the time.
Right. And when Steve was initially, when he had the stories from being ill, and I think he had a transplant, right? At one point, a liver or something?
I think it was a liver.
Yeah, he had a transplant. And I think during those, there was two episodes where he stepped away and Tim Cook took over, you know, interim CEO while he was away. And that was really the first time I'd even heard of Tim Cook.
Yeah.
Because he was always exactly. in the background completely. You never saw him on stage. Never really talked about him much. But we knew that Steve had handpicked him to succeed him once he knew what was ultimately going to happen. So, and good choice, obviously.
Yeah.
But again, the keynotes and things never have been the same in the last 10 years. As much as they try, they're still not the same. There's something missing there from Steve. But
it would be definitely interesting to see how Steve would navigate the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all of this would have been completely different. Yeah. I honestly don't think Apple would be as big as they are if he had stayed, because I think Tim Cook obviously is a better administrator of things, in my opinion. He's more the inventory guy and squeezing the last dollar out of efficiency and this and that. Of course, if he'd still been working with Steve, maybe it would have happened. But I think Tim Cook has made decisions that Steve may not have made, for better or worse. It's just different. Anyway, speaking of keynotes, we should be getting an invite this week for another Apple event, right? We're pretty far along. It's October 10th. So probably on Tuesday, which is the 12th, with an event to be the following week, which would be the 19th of October. Now, it's possible that this gets bumped yet another week. So an invite on the 19th and an event on the 26th. But I think that's as far as they could really push it. And this event, I think, would obviously be for the MacBook Pros, which will hopefully have the new generation or next generation M1 chip, whether they call it the M1X or the M2 or whatever, but we'll get to see that unveiled, and then possibly or hopefully some new AirPods updates as well. So that should be happening this week. I would anticipate that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
We'll see if that actually happens.
Can you guys believe it's going to be mid-October? I just can't believe it.
Oh, I know. It's end of September. Yeah.
I mean, I'm already
Halloween decorations come out. You're like, oh man, that was fast.
Oh yeah, my neighbor across the street just yesterday, and they're relatively new to the neighborhood. They moved in a few years ago, and the first Halloween they put up some pretty neat things. It's like, wow, that's cool. And then they keep adding. So this year now they've got this giant clown face over front entry that you walk through the mouth of the clown.
Oh, I've seen those.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. It's huge. And they've got these other blow up things and stuff that's pretty elaborate. Creepy. Yeah. For Halloween. Yeah. But it's fun to see. Yeah. It's weird. You got Halloween and Christmas stuff in the stores at the same time.
You do. I mean, I walked into Lowe's last weekend and Christmas stuff was up. I was like, what? You know, what's going on? But then again, I'm like, okay. It's October 1st. They're going to put it up.
Right. Yeah. It's coming. But yeah, the summer's over. We're into fall. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's going on, because we did have a really big week last week. The Apple Watch Series 7 went on pre-order this past Friday, which happened at, I think it was 7 a.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. And it was probably, I don't know how to characterize this. It's probably the most chaotic and one of the worst launches I've seen Apple do. I mean, I don't want to go that far to say it was the worst, but I really cannot remember anything being this messed up for a launch of a new product. Which is kind of weird, because we knew the whole thing about the Apple Watch Series 7 has been strange since the announcement.
Right.
And it just, it got worse, because no specs were ever released prior to ordering. You had no idea going in when you went to order what the prices were, what the configurations were, you know, what bands go with them. You really were in the dark completely. And to make it even worse, it was, you know, rumored that they were going to be in very short supply. So, yeah, it was kind of crazy. I checked this morning. There are at least even the aluminum, which you would think the aluminum ones in colors would be the most, you would get them sooner, right, compared to the stainless steel and titanium. The higher end ones in different configurations in the past have always shipped later. But you, so, okay, just even looking at the aluminum ones now, I'm getting a ship notification that's in December. Already.
Yeah. I did it just for, giggles as well. I was going to say another word in front of giggles, but I think we'd get X-rated. same thing, Tom. I was in December.
Yeah. It's been very strange. There's a lot of people complaining about the whole process. And we'll get into some of that here in a second. Now I did, I got up early. Well, early. Okay. It's 7 o'clock here. And I got up and, went to place my order, and it was weird because I had the Apple Store open on my phone, which I've always heard is the best way to get through. Mm-hmm. And then I also had it up on the website on the computer just as a backup. Right. And the store, you know, you get the image that the store is not ready, it's almost there, that kind of thing. And I kept refreshing the screen on both the phone and the website. The phone kicked in first, okay, the Apple Store on the phone, and I was able to get in and place an order. But the one, and then I kept looking at the one on the website, it never refreshed for me. I mean, I had to like quit out of it and go back to it. It was like minutes and minutes had passed before it finally. So I guess my point is it was different probably for everybody in whichever way you were trying to access it, which was kind of frustrating. So you were really pretty much in the dark when it came time to place your order, and a lot of anxiety with people who wanted to get it right away. So as has happened in the past, when you ordered it, a particular watch, it comes with a particular band. But in the ordering process, you can switch that band. And a lot of times what happens is if you switch that band, depending on which one you choose, can delay your order as well. And unfortunately, the one I picked, I had just bought the band. I have it. I'm wearing it. It came with the one I had bought previously. So I had to switch the band. I chose a different band. So I had a little delay there. And then when I actually went to check out with Apple Pay, it told me I had to confirm my contact information. Made no sense to me. And I almost didn't even know where to tap to do it. Finally found where it was, confirmed my phone number, and I thought I had seen everything in there, went back, continue, still asking for it. I had to go back in again and realize I had to select my email as well. And then it finally took it, and then it finally went through, and I'm not getting it next week on Friday, this coming Friday, the 15th, which is when, if you'd ordered immediately, that's when it would be delivered. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the week, is it the week after or the week after that? Like the 26th is the earliest I think I get it, the 26th. Yeah. Just from that little hesitation in ordering. So every second you delay in ordering, your delivery slips into the future. It's like that movie Interstellar, where every second on that planet equaled a day. It felt just like that. You know, they visit a planet as well as near a black hole, and time is way different there. It's like every hour is like 7 years back home. Well, this was the interstellar ordering for the Apple Watch. And I knew, just like the characters in that movie, I planned to get in and get out as quickly as possible. But also like them, I made a mistake and it cost me. So one little hang up cost a week and a half or so. And I was super quick about it too. I mean, I can imagine the frustration of other people whose deliveries got bumped into November you know, even when they did it really quickly. So the supply of this, the stock, the inventory must be so low.
Right.
But they compounded the problem by not letting you ahead of time choose what you wanted to do and have it preset up to just go in and buy, right? I don't understand why they didn't do that.
So they did that with the phone, right? I mean, the phone, I was all pre-configured. And
right.
I will say validating my email and phone, I'm like, every time I ordered the iPad mini and the phone at the same time, I had to do it twice. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and there was some screw-ups there, too, with that ordering. And we'll talk about that, too. There's something else coming up I want to mention about what happened with the iPhone 13 and people trying to buy with their Apple Pay. But I don't understand the reason why when Apple said, okay, on this date, you're going to pre-order the watch, why their website didn't then give you the specs. Because the specs are there now, and I know they had them. I got to wonder if this wasn't by design, done on purpose, because they don't have enough stock. They want everybody ordering all at once and becoming completely sold out. But that's what happened. I mean, you can't get them now. Now, if you missed out on that and you still wanted to get a watch, this Friday, the 15th, you can go into an Apple store and buy the Series 7. However, just like what was pre-ordered, what they have available is very limited. So it's almost like the old days of a launch. You better get in line early and hope that you can get what you want. So I don't know. It was one of the strangest orders of an Apple Watch I've ever seen.
This whole thing has been kind of a cluster, hadn't it? I mean, from the announcement to the event, to the lineup, didn't make me get me excited about buying one.
If the theory holds true that this wasn't the flagship product in terms of overall orders, and then the compounding it with the manufacturing and chip shortage and everything else going on, it's kind of a perfect storm of all the things.
You would have thought, though, with it just being this one model, that they could have gotten the specs out there. Oh, the other thing that was happening was Studio, the Apple Watch Studio, where you custom build your watch, right? You pick the case, the size, the band. That's been around for years. Apparently, that was screwing up, too, for people. That you couldn't – apparently, it didn't allow you to choose certain configurations of the watch, the material, and the band. And apparently, it was specific bands that were causing an issue. You know, if two people – simultaneously chose the same combination, one might be able to place the order and the other might not. It was kind of a random thing. Anyway, hearing from a lot of people that had a lot of issues with this, some even say they ordered something, but the confirmation shows they have a different band. You know, that kind of insanity. I just don't understand why there's so much chaos with this. It's not like this is new. Apple's done this how many times now? I mean, we're here on the sixth year of the Apple Watch. And anyway.
Yeah. There's you know, leadership change as well at the top.
Maybe.
And then, you know, didn't email operations team.
Kevin wasn't involved, right? Kevin Lynch was moved to the car team.
Right. Yeah.
So he didn't oversee this. I don't know if he has anything to do with the actual logistics, right? End of this fulfillment. That's completely different. But I don't know. It was very, by the way, I got the blue. Went with the blue aluminum.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Wow, that's big difference. Big, going for it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've got the titanium, I've got the stainless steel, right? So I can still use those if I want something a little nicer. Went for the aluminum, went with the blue just to have a different color. I almost went with the red, product red, but I decided more of my bands would probably match with the blue than anything. I wanted the green too, but I thought, that again might be tough to match everything up with it. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's why I don't get a color watch. I mean, I like to kind of match bands and stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, if I go to a Cleveland Browns football party and I have a blue watch and I put a brown band on, I'm like, nah, it won't look very good, right? So that's why I kind of stay, you know, the stainless steel or the the black.
Vincent, did you get the blue one a while back?
I was thinking about it, but I ended up not. Same thought process as Chris. I was like, how do you make this work a little bit more neutral? And you know, matching with the rest of the bands.
Well, I realize
it's beautiful.
I realize my band collection kind of leans into the blue a lot.
Mm. Oh, really?
Does so, it? Ah, yeah. Either neutral or bluish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I figured that'd be fine. It's more of a sport version. I almost went with a Nike too. I thought about that too. But again, I couldn't configure anything ahead of time. So this, again, was one of the weirdest ordering processes I've seen them do. And also, by the way, I just want to mention that the Series 6 is now gone. Vanished.
Wow.
From the website, gone forever, done.
Yeah, no, I noticed that too.
There's a whole bunch of sales on Amazon.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wasn't sure about, because it was kind of buried in their stats. Once, by the way, on Apple's website, you can now get all the specs for the Series 7. And we'll go over that here in a second. But I had a big question, was they talk about this crack resistant, you know, dust proof, one of the more durable watches that they've ever made. And they show the aluminum. Mm-hmm. My question was, did the stainless steel and titanium still have a sapphire glass on the front? And apparently they do. So the Series 7 is still Ion X glass. And the stainless steel and titanium still have the sapphire. So there is a difference in the glass. I think the difference here with the 7 is the way the glass is formed to make it more crack resistant. It's the shape of it or how it's done. Yeah. So I guess my point is, if you have the aluminum one, the Series 7, that glass will scratch a lot easier than the stainless steel or titanium ones with the sapphire, at least from my experience with aluminum versus that. That's why I always kind of went towards the stainless steel and titanium, was the durability. When you accidentally pop that watch against something, it's a lot less likely to leave a scratch or a mark. But so I'm going to be careful with this one. A little more careful.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was weird. And there's almost this, not sense of panic, but anxiety when you're ordering and something happens like that, because you know, again, every second you waste in ordering delays shipment if you're trying to get it, you know, quickly. And by the way, a fun fact about that movie, Interstellar, and that particular scene when they're on that planet, the music has this ticking sound that makes it so dramatic and builds the tension, but it's also very precise. Every tick sound in that scene is a day mathematically. They did that on purpose. Isn't that cool? So next time you see that movie and you look at that scene, it makes it even more intense. Yeah. Yeah. I'd never realized. I saw that on an interview or something they did with the director. He said, we did that specifically in that scene. Anyway, it's a great movie. Not to give anything away, but actually the fate of humanity kind of involves a watch, doesn't it? So yeah, check it out if you can. But
it's all about timing. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. All right. What else? Oh, something new. When you did order the watch, they're now offering a $100 rebate on cellular Apple Watch Series 7 purchase, and this comes from T-Mobile, Sprint, and from Verizon. So you have two options there. And it's a little red thing where you go to order down when you choose your provider. It mentions it and you can click on it and get more details. And I think you have a certain amount of time to do it. So within, according to T-Mobile, within 90 days of ordering, 90 days, that's 3 months, you can, if you activate what they call a new paired digits plan, I have no idea what that is or how expensive it is. You'll then have 30 days after activating that service to complete an application using a promo code on their website And within 6 to 8 weeks of submitting that, you'll get a $100 virtual prepaid MasterCard. So mm-hmm. about this time next year. No.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a lot of hoops to jump through. And Verizon is pretty much the same way. You activate a consumer postpaid data plan. Then you'll have 30 days to activate the service, complete the application. And within 8 weeks of that, you'll get a $100 Verizon e-gift card, whatever that is good for. So yeah, nice that they're offering that. I don't think I'm taking advantage of either one of those since I'm on AT&T, but
yeah, same here.
Did you get the cellular version as well? Have you always
gotten I've always gotten the cellular version. The only real reason is when I'm out running, I want connection to everything, right? Mm-hmm. I always want to have a connection. So I've always had it. Yeah. And I hate paying the money every month, but it's kind of hard to get rid of it at this point, right?
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I have it. I have it. And I haven't used it very much, but the times I've used it, I'm happy I have it.
Right. Exactly. If you're anywhere where you can't get, you know, your, mm-hmm. a Wi-Fi connection, and you need something on your phone, that's a great thing to have.
It's almost like connection insurance, you know, because you can
right. So in addition to that $100, kind of like $100 off, you actually have to spend it on something else. Apple also has their trade-in program as well. So that is I think the Apple Watch SE, you can get up to $155. Series 5, $145. Series 4, $100. Series 3, $70. Series 2, $25. Interesting in this list is not the Series 6. I don't know what that trade-in number is yet. Yeah. I'd have to look that up. I did not catch what that was going to be. But
they didn't list it.
No.
They didn't list it. And I was going to look this morning to see if they had, and I forgot. So I don't know if it's up there now. Yeah.
But what's interesting here is, so not only did you have to pick the watch case, the size, the band that comes with it, whether or not you're doing the cellular version or not, if you are, whether or not you're taking advantage of this $100 thing and which service to choose, then whether or not you're going to trade in a watch. By the time you did that, yeah, you're into December. You're ordering, even if you knew the answer to all those and just ticked them all off, that takes a while to order. So, yeah.
It does. That's why, you know, the phone was nice. You know, the day before I just configured it. And then at 8:01 or 8:01 a.m. on the Friday morning, I had a phone ordered because I just went in there and confirmed it and bought it. That saves, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, maybe even more than that.
Right. And that's, you know, something we should have been able to do with the watch. But again, like everything else, things are a little different these days. We'll just chalk it up to that. And hopefully the Series 8 will be back on track and we'll have, you know, a couple of weeks to really mull it over and change our configurations back and forth and get exactly what we want before ordering. But
it's almost like they needed to skip this whole thing. And I guess... Yeah, I guess you know, everyone's, all the Apple consumers are into these yearly updates, and we're all so used to it. But it just it was so chaotic.
Yeah, and they really couldn't. I mean, skip it. They had to have something, right? I mean, they have.
I guess
every year. Why? You know, it would have been weird either way. Mm-hmm. But and by the way, now that we are, you know, you can order it and all of that. We're getting the specifics, or the specs, I should say, of the watch. And what is a little surprising here, I know it had been rumored before, but now we know for sure because this is straight from Apple, it's heavier. So either the 41 millimeter or the 45 is up in weight slightly on all of them. Whether it's the aluminum, stainless steel, or titanium version of either size, they're all up a specific number of grams in weight. So maybe the larger display is adding to that as far as that. They're saying in terms of thickness, it is identical to the 6. So that's not changed. The sensors are identical, right? You have your blood oxygen, your heart sensor, and your, what else? Blood ox, ECG, all that stuff is the same. So no difference there. They're calling it there's a new name for the chip, an S7, right? Is that right? S7, I think, series on a chip. But that's in name only in marketing. Pretty much the chip is the same as the 6. And then, of course, the display is bigger on all versions than what we've had before. And then the other thing, so all those specs are there. And I'll put a link in the show notes. If you want to know the exact pixels and the exact grams in weight, it's all there.
Yes, it is.
And then faster charging. We talked about how the 7, it does charge up to 33% faster than the 6. And 8 minutes of charging will give you enough battery for 8 hours of sleep tracking. So that is the real differences here that's finally revealed. But I have to say, this USB-C charging thing is interesting. I've seen some articles here in the last day or so that I look at the headline and I just roll my eyes, because the headlines go along the lines of something like, Apple Watch old chargers won't be compatible with Series 7 fast charging system. Well, yeah, of course. They make it sound like your old chargers don't work anymore, or that you can't use them with the new Series 7. And that's,
sure. Yeah.
Or that this new one, if you can't charge, the only difference I see is that you can use these chargers with your old watch, they're just not going to charge faster.
Right. Right. You're just not going to get the accelerated charging. Yeah. Right.
But these headlines, it's clickbait. I know.
Of course it is.
And I've seen two or three of them. I'm like, you're just misleading people here. That's not exactly true. So yes, it's pretty obvious. You need to have, and by the way, Apple says those stats about being faster and whatnot, those were all done using an 18-watt USB-C charger. Okay? So you will need to get that brick. That or higher. I think you could use a 20 as well. But
yeah, I would assume you could.
Right. But it's the cable that makes the difference with the little charging puck on it.
Yeah. Now, the MagSafe Duo charger comes with the 20 hertz, right?
It will not charge the new watch any faster.
It won't? Okay.
No, the only thing that will charge that watch faster is the cable that came with it. For now. That will change.
Not that I'm all concerned about it, to tell you the truth, because the way I use my watch, I don't really need the faster charging, but I guess it's
a nice feature. But
yeah, it's all right.
And by the way, I've heard, and I haven't confirmed this by looking it up, I've heard that the previous version of the Apple charger is gone from their website. You can only buy this one now, which tells me in the future, they're all going to be like this, right?
Right.
That they've phased it out. It's again, another little shift into USB-C for Apple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just pull off the Band-Aid. Like, just do it.
Yeah. Well, it also gets them out of trouble with the EU,
right?
You know, when that whole thing goes through. It's one more thing they don't have to change. So, anyway, we were talking about the phone earlier, and you were talking about the process of ordering. And we had mentioned in our last show how people who ordered the iPhone 13 tried to pay with their Apple Pay using their Apple card and couldn't. They had an issue checking out. They had to use a different form of payment. So they did not get the 3%, right?
Correct.
That you would normally make with that purchase. Well, apparently, and I saw this on Twitter first, which I thought, wow, this is great. But it's been confirmed that Apple sent out something to all the people who tried to use the Apple card to purchase the iPhone 13 and ended up using a different payment method. Apple sent them an email. And then let me quote here. It says, you successfully completed your iPhone pre-order with a payment method other than Apple card. We understand your initial purchase attempt with the Apple card was declined and you didn't earn the 3% daily cash. We apologize for the inconvenience you experienced and wanted to make it up to you. We are providing you a credit for the daily cash and the initial payment of your iPhone 13. You'll see this appear as a balance adjustment in your wallet app. This will also appear in your October monthly statement. that doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, not at all.
That a big company actually bites the bullet and makes it right on something financially like that.
They needed to, though.
Yeah, they did. But again, you don't see that very often. So good for Apple for doing that. The two other big things here at the end of the year, the new phone and the new watch, have had just ordering chaos when you go pre-order. Yeah. So they have to get that fixed. All right. Speaking of fixes, Apple released iOS 15.0.1 with Apple Watch Unlock Fix. If you have the iPhone 13, and there's some other little things in there, but that's a big deal. We talked about them in the beta that it was going to do it, and now it is actually out. So if you have that issue, update your phone, and you should be able to unlock with Apple Watch, which is great.
I haven't tested it. I haven't worn my mask much, which is not saying much, but haven't done that yet.
Well, you have the 13?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay.
I had that issue.
You did? Okay.
It was still a little flaky for me.
Was it?
Yeah. And sometimes I just realized that my watch was still locked, even though I had unlocked my phone already. It didn't automatically unlock my watch. And thus I tried to, then I put on my mask, tried to unlock my phone, and it goes, "You're going to unlock your watch." I'm like,
okay. Oh, wait, Vincent, you have the iPhone 13?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not the 13.
I was going to say, it's happening to you, but you have the 12.
Right? On the 12.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I haven't 12, experienced it on the 12 either. Apparently this is a big deal on the 13, like since it launched. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The last show I mentioned it because I just gotten it the day before, I think, and it wasn't working.
Right. What else is going on here? This again is part of Apple kind of trying to calm down people who are upset with different things about them, particularly the Apple Store. You can now leave reviews for Apple's apps on the App Store. So the built-in apps. So for the first time, things like Mail, Maps, Apple Music, or podcast app, you can now have ratings and reviews. So nice. Yeah. Again, something they're trying to, I don't want to say head off any more litigation, but they're trying to, be more fair about it, I guess.
Right.
So interesting. So you can now do that. I think as they look more and more into their Apple Store business, Apple's trying to clean some of this stuff up. And good for them. And I don't think any of them are going to have really great reviews, though. Because they're the most, if you think about it, they're the most used apps, right? The built-in ones.
Right.
You're going to get more people with more issues. It's just the numbers, right? So
I used to use third-party apps for things like reminders and notes, and I've just gone back to Apple because it's I don't need super duper complicated. I just need super duper reliable and good, and those work fine.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe I just reviewed it right there. Right. They work fine. Maybe that's the whole point. Right.
So you're gonna leave a good review.
Yeah.
But it's weird because I don't even think about leaving because you never have been able to. I never think about leaving a review for any of those.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You always wonder, where can I complain about this? I have an issue. Yeah. I wish they would do this. I wish they would do that. Right.
Well, we were just redesigning the whole Apple Fitness Plus interface into the Activity app two shows ago, right?
That's right. Yeah. I guess there's a forum for that now.
Yeah,
so it's anyway, a way to do it. Good for that.
It's kind of weird. I mean, in the software development realm, I guess it's one of those things where it's bad that you don't have a place for input, like feedback.
Right.
But it's worse to get feedback and not do anything about it. So I don't know. If this goes down the right path.
Well, what you would hope would happen is if enough people are dragging that down for the same reason, they have to address the issue.
Right.
But
you're supposed to.
Right. Yes. But currently, the only place you can do that is on other forums. Mm-hmm. And Apple doesn't really pay attention to those. Right. So
no, they don't.
Yeah. This puts it where Apple will always keep an eye on it. So I guess I'm being optimistic about it, but to your point, Vincent, if they don't do anything, then kind of what's the point? This is just you know, this, then this is just for show, right?
Mm-hmm. You would hope Apple's that community forums still, sometimes you'll have a lot of complaints on there and nothing happens for years. So,
right.
Yeah.
And what I would hope would happen, and again, probably not, but if I go to a third party app and I have a specific complaint or problem, a lot of times they'll follow right up with that from the developer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You would hope Apple would start to do some of that too, maybe explain some of these things to people, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It can be very complicated. So,
well, it's a direct access now, and we'll see pretty quickly, because like you said, there'll probably be a lot of, as soon as it ramps up and people know it's there, there'll be a lot of reviews. And if they don't address it, then it is just for show. But
right. But
I would think they have to do something.
You're right. But I think the difference is that obviously when you are looking to buy an app or to use an app, you look at the reviews and you look at other apps that are similar and you look at those reviews and you make your decision. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't really have a choice with these. They're already there. They're already on your phone. So you're not looking at the reviews for that reason, right? You're not purchasing any of these. They're already there. Right. Mm-hmm. So your biggest choice is whether to use them or not.
Yeah.
And you've always had that choice. So I don't know that it changes too much the more I think about it, but you know, Apple News has a 2-star rating out of 5. Is that going to make you not use it?
Right.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Oh, this is kind of sad. As we approach our 400th show, the original Apple Watch that we kicked off this show with, the, as we call it, the Series Zero, the beta version of the Apple Watch, is now been added to Apple's vintage product
list. Yes, I saw that. I was like, really?
Yeah, first time an Apple Watch product has made this list. I bet we'll see one pretty much every year from now on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was over 6 years ago, April of 2015. And now the vintage list is pretty much, so Apple will, make sure I get this right. It means that you're no longer eligible for repairs at mm-hmm. the Genius Bar or any other authorized service provider. But they do offer extended repairs of some vintage products in locations where extended repairs are required by law. It depends on where you are, whether it'll mm-hmm. still be covered. But as I mentioned in this article, they say that in another couple of years, the original Apple Watch will move on to the Apple's obsolete list. Mm-hmm. And hardware service will be entirely discontinued, whether you had a warranty or not, just done. In other words, this is like a warning. It's on the vintage list. And once all these extended warranties run out, because they're probably not offering them anymore, then it hits the obsolete list.
Right, right.
So kind of sad. I still have mine. I still have the original one.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
It's the only one I don't have. I have all the other ones. And I don't know why I'm like looking at these going, why do I have all these watches?
I know. It's funny because now I'm going to have another one here in a couple of weeks. But
mine's in pieces and I'm going to mount it into a frame. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to what?
I'm going to break it apart and mount it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a company that did that, right? That you could buy all the whole thing exploded into pieces and labeled.
Right.
Framed. Yeah. For the phone and for the watch, I think. Beautiful stuff.
It's going to be a long project.
I've not fired mine up in a while, so hopefully it still boots up. But yeah, my original one was a stainless steel version of the first one. One of my daughters has been getting as I upgrade to one, she gets the other one. So she'll get an upgrade this year too. So she's getting the series five or six, whatever number she's on.
Yeah.
And then kind of related to that, talk about vintage products, Apple informed authorized service providers that it's adding its AA battery charger and the third generation Apple TV to its vintage product list here at the end of the month. You remember this thing, the rechargeable thing?
I saw this and looked at the article. Like, I had no idea.
Really? I had several of these. I think I still do because they still work. Yeah. because you know, the older keyboards and mouse from Apple had batteries. Yeah. So Apple actually came out with its own batteries and its own charger, rechargeable batteries. It was $29 for the charger. I forget how much the batteries were. It included 6 rechargeable batteries. It worked on the trackpad as well. You could use it. So they apparently discontinued this in 2016. And everything now is built in and is recharged with Lightning. But they're kind of sad to see these things slowly go away. But yeah, the ones I have still working great. I still have some of the old keyboards and mice around, so I still use it every now and then. But nothing upsets me more than the mouse I'm using that isn't battery, and it suddenly pops up and says you need to charge it while I'm in the middle of doing something or about to do something. Because the timing is always horrible.
It is. Yeah.
Whereas with the batteries, you know, my keyboard, like today, I'm using a keyboard here for the show because it's a little quieter, this small keyboard that has batteries. And it said it was kind of low. So I just went in, popped out the old ones that are on the charger, put in the new ones, and I'm off and running much faster than waiting for it to charge. So anyway.
Very nice.
Yep.
You notice them all, they're all somewhere retired between, 2015 and 16, all these products. So that's seems to be the timing that takes it to the vintage list.
What happened? All of a sudden it's 2021, almost 2022 here. What happened all the time? That was just yesterday, wasn't it? None of this stuff seems old to me. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah. I know.
Oh man. Okay. What else is going on? We also missed last week was International Podcast Day. So Apple, they touted their top subscriptions, cause that's new with them. So they listed the top subscription podcasts and the top free channels. And no, we're not on the top 10 of either one. First of all, we don't offer subscriptions, so we wouldn't be on that list. Although I looked at, and I hadn't looked at this in a while. I went to Apple Podcasts and I looked at their top shows, and they break them into certain categories. We're in the technology category, and we used to be in a subcategory of technology called gadgets, right? Well, they don't even have that anymore. So it's just all lumped into one called technology. So a lot more competition there. We're still in the top 200. So that shocked me. I was like, wow, I thought we fell out of that a long time ago. So thank you, listeners, for keeping us there.
Yeah, that's great.
And I think it has to do with the number of reviews you get and the rating. It does.
That's what I think. Yeah.
But now with it tied into Apple with their new system of podcasts and the subscriptions, I think it's tied to listeners too. They now have all that data, which they didn't really have before on you. So, that was surprising. And, so I also want to announce, and maybe I should save this for the 400th, but I'll go ahead and announce it here. I looked up, we previously, before Apple did all this, we tracked it through a thing called PodTrack. You remember that, Vincent, right? PodTrack. Mm-hmm. They have a new interface, by the way, which is great on their online system because the other one was kind of dated. But they can now give you a total in a little chart of how many downloads your show has had since inception. We're approaching 1.5 million.
Wow.
Was that on that screenshot you sent us, Tom?
Yes.
I didn't. I must have missed that because that's impressive. That's good.
1.5 million downloads of this show. So
for unsponsored, just three dudes that get together and kind of put it together. That's not bad.
Kind of surprises me. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Look at that. Makes me feel a little bit better. It's funny. Now, what's weird is that our number of listeners has kind of plateaued a long time ago, but it stayed consistent. Since then, it's never really. It's now certain times a year we'll get a little more when the new watch and stuff comes out, and then it'll go back down. But it's been pretty consistent. So thank you, listeners, for doing that.
Can I do a quick math? It's 1.5 million, right? You said divided by 400.
Oh, don't do that. It's not going to be good.
That's all right.
It's not going to be a good number.
Sure, it is.
What is it?
3,750.
Okay. Average, right.
Yeah, it's average.
Yeah, average. But that's a strange milestone. I guess I missed when it hit a million, whenever that was. It was a while back, I guess.
Yeah, that would be, you know, you can do some quick math, about a year ago, maybe.
At least.
No, yeah. A little more than that, 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, thanks to everybody listening and making that happen. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, International Podcast Day. And by the way, we got a few mentions from some of our listeners that said, happy International Podcast Day. And then they listed the top five podcasts they listened to, and we were mentioned in a bunch of those. So thank you for
that. That's great.
Too. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it. That's actually how I found out it was International Podcast Day. I kind of forgot, but I saw those notices on Twitter. So
you almost need a reminder on all the things that are, you know, international or you know, USA based, because every day is something.
Right. I think isn't there an International Watch Day and, you know, all these
I'm sure there is.
Things we mm-hmm. need to keep track of. Last thing here in the news I want to mention, just because it's kind of big news. Apple TV Plus just announced, just landed a film deal with George Clooney and Brad Pitt. A couple of unknown startup actors. Pretty big deal. Apparently they were... They bidding against Netflix, Amazon, Sony, Lionsgate, and other studios to get this. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is the first time they're back together since Ocean's movies. Might be.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything offhand.
Right. But this article just mentions some of the other stuff that Apple's working on. We kind of forget what's happening. They've ramped up their original film stuff quite a bit because they hired some guy from Warner Media, some executive to help plan all this, and it seems to be paying off. They're in development right now. They have Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon, Emancipation starring Will Smith, Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds musical called Spirited, a Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson romantic adventure called Ghosted. Raymond and Ray, headlined by Ewan McGregor and Ethan Hawke. And Ridley Scott's Kit Bag, which is a Julianne Moore thriller called Sharper. Jake Gyllenhaal called Snowblind, another one. An ensemble cast of stars in something called Argyle. And The Greatest Beer Run Ever. How funny. I just finished the audiobook of The Greatest Beer Run Ever. And now
did you really?
Apple's going to make it into a movie.
Funny.
That is incredible. It's about this is during the Vietnam War. I think it's in Boston. These guys that get together at a bar and some of them are off at war. And this one guy says, you know, I'm going to take them some hometown beer. And he actually, because he's from the military too, so he had some connections. But that's what it's about. He actually takes beer from Boston and goes into the war as a civilian and tracks down his buddies to give them some beer so they could have a drink. And it's a true story. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, that's going to be one as well. So Apple's really ramping up. It's and somewhere else I read that they're going to have something new every week starting in 2022.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. A new original series or film every week. So they're really cranking it up.
They are. You start to notice it too. I think it's a little more content on there. You know, every time you kind of go on there and see something.
Yeah. There's always something there. Nice. Nice that they're starting to come into its own.
It is.
And I knew this was going to happen. I knew they would take their time with it. That it was, they didn't have to, you know, they weren't going to buy a catalog of stuff. So, you know, like Netflix and others do, that a back catalog of different shows and different things. Everything they do is original. And I don't know anyone other than, well, even HBO doesn't do that. HBO has other stuff too. But they used to be the only one that did all their own original. So, anyway, all right. So, We'll get to what we like this week here in just a minute, but first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check it out on our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. A big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this possible. All right, time to move on to what we like this week. Since we were just talking about Apple TV Plus, I'm going to go ahead and do mine here real quick. What I like this week, first of all, before I get into that, Apple had its first cancellation of an Apple TV show. Mr. Corman, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's one and done, no renewal. That's it. Did you watch it at all?
I tried watching the first episode. Yeah,
same here. Mm-hmm. I think we watched two, and I think the only reason I watched the second one was to give it one more chance to get better. It was just depressing. I mean, was nothing interesting there to watch. It was just kind of a negative look at someone leading a regretful life. Mm. It was the opposite of Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
It was bizarro Ted Lasso. Imagine if Ted Lasso had never become a football coach and was a grade school teacher who spent all his time moping and regretting not being a coach. No, thanks. Mm-hmm. That show just didn't make it. Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't watch it because I read the reviews and I didn't need to watch it. So that's why I didn't watch
it. Yeah. I mean, you know, look who's in it, and he produced it. And I think
exactly.
I was expecting more. It was just, I don't know.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
But obviously it wasn't doing well. So the first ever cancellation that I know of from Apple TV. And by the way, what I do like this week is their new series Foundation, the new sci-fi, which has been renewed, by the way, for a second season already. So good for them. This is a new show from Apple. It's based on a series of books from Isaac Asimov. Now, I've not read the books, and I did not want to before watching the show, because from what I knew beforehand, the scope of this story is so massive, galactic, actually. And knowing that, I realized that to adapt this to a television series would mean altering it dramatically and making changes that anybody who with knowledge of the books would not like. So purposely, I did not read them before this. In the past, when I've read books about anything, really, not even anything this big, and then you get to see the movie version, you just don't like it as much. Because there's only so much you can do in a film or a TV. Exactly. You don't have all the time to get all that information. Anyway, but I have to say, after only seeing four episodes, I'm hooked. I love the exploration of an entire universe and the world building that they're trying to tell here. The timeline and characters jump around through time quite a bit. And it does require you to really follow along, but it's worth it. The scope and scale of the effects in just the first episode is astounding for a television show. Mm-hmm. The scenes involving this star bridge are futuristic in a Star Trek or Star Wars sort of way, while also being quite topical with current events, a lot of what they're saying. And that's what great science fiction should do, right? It always kind of reflects the current society that the time period it was created in, like Star Trek, right? From the 60s. Mm-hmm. That was all just talking about messaging of what was going on at the time. It seems like they are, pardon the pun, but not really, setting the foundation for a long run. And I hope it does have a long run. I would love to see where all of this is leading. And it was very interesting to see an Apple show with no Apple product placement. So unless they snuck an Apple logo on one of those spaceships, I missed it. There's just no place to put an Apple phone or anything else, an iPad, none of that in here. So anyway, it's been renewed, which is good news. And again, it's one of those, you just kind of have to stick with it and follow through. I love it. It's kind of like The Expanse. Have you ever seen The Expanse, which is on,
yeah, Shifted. I've seen it advertised.
I think it's,
yeah,
now on Amazon, right? Then they pick it up. It was on Sci-Fi. They canceled it. Amazon picked it up. I think it's got its final season coming up. But again, that's telling a huge story within different worlds and different things going on. And it's tough to do. That's a tough thing to do well. I think The Expanse has done it very well. This is like that, but even bigger. And again, it's just, sometimes it's even just beautiful just to watch this thing. The scenes are kind of jaw dropping, and what they've been able to do. I've not seen a bad effect yet. Let's put it that way. And you know, most of that is effects. So anyway, I love it. That's what I like this week, and looking forward to see where it's going to go from there.
Yeah, it's amazing CGI. I mean, it requires that to create this whole story. And kind of going back to your point there, I mean, Asimov started this in the 1940s. Four of the first of the five stories are written back then. And so this is kind of the basis which all science fiction kind of stems from, or at least modern science fiction, with all the hovering cars and everything else. And then it's really just cool to see how all the sci-fi that we're used to with Star Trek and Star Wars and everything borrowed from that.
Yes.
The Galactic Empire and everything else, and how it stemmed off, and just now seeing the stories based off of, like you said, I mean, this whole Apple series is based off of it. It's not the actual foundation story, but it's a...
It couldn't be,
Yeah.
That's impossible to film. But you're right. I keep finding... It's funny how it's almost revolving circle, or like a circle here. You're coming back around, because you're right. Those stories kind of spurred what has happened with Star Trek and Star Wars and everything after it. But when I watch this... I get little elements of that. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a Star Wars vibe. That's kind of a Star Trek thing, right?
Right.
So it's weird how it's influencing. It's been influenced, but it keeps influencing. It's weird. It's like, you know, what begins and where it ends. But just some amazing concepts in it too. So
that's great.
Yeah, I was a little worried, really. I thought the first one was going to be, you know, Not Corman level bad, but it could have been. It could have been something where you're like, oh, I ain't watching the rest of it. No way. But yeah, if for anything else, visually watch it. It's just kind of a treat. So, all right, that's what I like this week. Vincent, what do you got?
Yeah, I have a little thing that's a little more sci-fi, I guess.
Okay.
As well, as it's the live type that came with iOS 15. And it is, for me, one of the kind of a not life changing, but it has definitely changed the way that I've used my iPhone and what it's for, specifically with going and attending conferences and seeing a lot of slides that pop up and you want to take a quick capture of it. And so Live Type is the new feature that is the optical character recognition, or OCR, that was kind of built into your camera now. So just going back in a little bit of the history, I mean, this, like, OCR is typically attributed to an invention by Ray Kurzweil, the same guy that created the Kurzweil synthesizer. I think he works at Google now, back in 1974. And, you know, this technology has gone through the hands of Xerox and IBM and everything else. But it's now something like in the 2000s became readily available as a kind of an online service. So it's much more pervasive. But it was originally invented by Kurzweil to assist with reading text for the blind. So it would scan the text, and then it would, you know, a machine would read it out loud so that you could hear it. But the technology has just now been used for, obviously, book scanning with PDFs and everything like that. It's been used on for government for scanning license plates. You've used it for scanning business cards with like Evernote. I've used it on there. And then it's also used for like traffic signs and stuff like that for automated for cars, right? For these auto self-driving things. So it's been around for a while, but besides OCR, it's extended to optical word recognition, intelligent character recognition. So like for Chinese characters and handwritten text, and then also the intelligent word recognition, which is now, it's not just the characters, but what does that actually word mean, so that you can then concatenate it together and look it up. And then a quick side note for you Marvel nerds out there, there is actual an OCR software called the Tesseract.
So, okay.
It was developed to recognize whole lines of text. So Apple took all this learning, right? This is what Apple does best in terms of innovation, and putting it into their deep neural network and using AI, this is their words, on in device intelligence to be able to kind of scan a device or scan a block of text and then be able to break it down into text recognition. It definitely Sherlock's a bunch of other apps that I had used in the past. And then I think Google already has this with theirs, but I used an app called World Lens a long time ago that did something similar where it would take and see text and then translate it for you. So you can point it to like a Chinese menu or something like that, and it would translate it. It was not perfect. It's not always perfect, but it tries.
But you get the gist enough.
Right? Yeah, you get the gist.
Right.
So with a live text, it's built into the camera, like I said, in terms of the options. So you can use it with a bunch of apps like Notes and any app and any other writing app. All you have to do is press and hold or double tap onto the text area, and then the menu will pop up like when you're selecting or copying and pasting text. It has an icon now that has three lines that are in brackets. Use that, and it'll automatically pop up a little camera viewfinder on the bottom, and you can point it at your slide or whatever it is that you're trying to capture, and then click insert, and it will automatically put the text that it recognizes into your note. This works on iOS 15, on iPad, iPhone XS and up, I believe, the 10X and 10S and up. So. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. The camera app, if you have it open just in general, it will have in the bottom right corner the same icon, and that it will automatically start to detect any text that it sees there. The cool thing that they demoed during the whole keynote was the fact that you can just point it to a sign or a business card, and then you can interact with that text. You can highlight whatever. It'll try to search for anything that it detects and highlights it, and then you can click on that. I haven't done the whole thing where you like point it to a business card or a phone number and have it call or email or whatever. I tried it with a business card that was sent to me over messages, and it didn't recognize it as a phone number. It said, you know, do you want to look up this number, or do you want to copy and paste it somewhere? Yeah. So I don't know whether I have a setting turned off or something like that, but it did not do that. Maybe with the native camera on, it will do that. It's still not perfect. I haven't tested it on handwritten and cursive text. I'm about to try that with something that I had written up in terms of a presentation. With slides, sometimes you get like two columns or three columns of text. It won't be able to recognize the different types of columns, but bullet points and stuff like that, it's relatively straightforward. It was super convenient for me. I mean, last couple of weeks I went to a conference, and I was able to just hold up the camera, click insert on text, and we were able to capture a bunch of notes for our teammates.
Amazing. That could attend. Yeah.
It was very cool.
It's very helpful.
So I believe it's turned on natively, but if it isn't, and if it doesn't work for you, you can go to settings, general, and it's under language and region. And that's where you can toggle on live text. So it's not in a very, intuitive place. Right now, live text currently supports English, Chinese, French, Italian, German, Portuguese, and Spanish. So I'm assuming they'll be working on a lot more. It looks sick here. I have my notes. It does support the iPhone XR also supports it as well. So I mean, that's one more. I was reading through the live text web page by Apple, and at the very bottom, there's also a feature called visual lookup. And I didn't realize that they had this. So like Amazon's object recognition, so yes. You want to buy something, yeah. This feature also helps you if you point your camera to something or take a picture. It will help you look up and recognize popular landmarks, arts, plants, pets, and other objects. that appear on your photos, and you can look it up on the web, and it's supposed to be a little icon, a little eye icon with some stars around it at the bottom of the Photos app. Again, this is part of iOS 15. It's awesome. I try to use it anywhere that I see text these days, and it's a really cool way to get things like notes shared out and emails composed. Yeah, that's what I like this week.
Yeah, I that last thing you mentioned, I took a picture of our dog and tapped on it, and it not only it our dog is not like a single breed.
Yeah,
she's a Maltipoo, right? Maltese poodle.
Yeah,
that's what it came up with.
Maltipoo.
It knew.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was like, wow, that was the first time I ever used it, and I was just amazed. At it.
Wow, that's neat.
Now some photos you don't get that little eye with the sparkle thing around it, right? Sometimes you don't. It doesn't recognize anything at all in the photo. Unfortunately, yeah. I took a picture of, we had this hawk in our backyard on the fence, but it didn't recognize it. Here it is. Hold on. Nope. No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Huh. Does not see it. So anyway, very cool though. And this stuff's just going to get better and better, right? I mean,
yes, of course, very sci-fi.
Yeah. It is sci-fi, cool. Isn't it? And pretty soon it'll just be tied to Siri, right?
Right.
So you'll just say, "Hey Siri, what's that?
What's that say?
What's that animal in this picture?"
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah, see, she's already doing it.
She's telling you something there. Well, Vincent, I'm just going to have to cross that off my list because I had like five or six things from OS 15, and that was one of them. And
awesome.
Because I did the focus mode on the show 2 weeks ago, and that was my second one. The live text was like, that's the one I'm doing next. And you beat me to it. All right, you did a better job of reviewing it than I would ever do. So congratulations. Very well done.
All right. What do you have this week, Chris?
Well, first, I have an update on my electric vehicle.
Okay. You got an update.
It is going to be delivered to Knoxville, Tennessee any day now.
Nice. They found some chips for you. Okay.
Apparently, yeah. So, you know, it was one of those the sky is falling thing. It's going to be built. And then I'm like, yeah. And then it's not built. And then it's delayed. And I'm like, all right, I'm just not even going to get excited until they say it's on a truck. Well, apparently it's on a truck. So certainly when I receive it, that'll be a nice might have to do two or three episodes of what I like this week because I can't wait to get it. So
nice.
I'm looking forward to it. But my review, or I should say what I like this week, is just a quick review of the iPad mini. Okay. So I needed a new phone because I was a couple revs back and you know, so I really love the iPhone 13. But I have the iPad Pro, and I've talked a lot about it on the show. And I have the MacBook that just sits on a desk here, and all I use it for is this podcast, right? So I'm a pretty intense user of the iPad Pro. So I said, I just did the iPad mini because I thought, well, I'm going to try, and if I don't like it, I'll send it to my son because he wanted something that he could use, and he doesn't have a newer iPad. So that's a long introduction to say I'm keeping this thing. First of all, the new iPhone 13 weighs 240 grams. The iPad mini weighs 290 grams.
Wow.
So you pick up the phone and you pick up the iPad mini, the phone actually feels like, okay, it feels a little heavier because it's you know, a little more dense as far as the size. This iPad mini is really light. I mean, extremely light. The design, the feature is great. You know, it kind of has the iPad Pro with the flat edges. Fantastic looking. I just bought the little Apple case that flops over it, and I have used it to kind of prop it up because now I find myself using this a little more when it's sitting at my desk than the iPad Pro. I'll get to the use case in a minute. Let me get to the still kind of talking about the hardware. What I really like about it is the Touch ID kind of works, and it doesn't have the face ID, but the Touch ID, you know, I hadn't used it on the previous iPad at all that I remember. But, you know, setting up, you know, you just do the same thing. You just put your finger on the side and it says, you know, lift put it down, lift, put it down. It kind of works pretty good. And, you know, you look at the actual button at the side, there's actually a lot of surface there, more than I thought. So it can, I guess, kind of read your fingerprint versus just, you know, doing something different. So Touch ID works great. And I even have a Touch ID set up for my OneNote. That's where all my notes are. So I can do two quick Touch IDs and I'm in to where I need to go. Screen is great. You know, the screen is it's got the bezel around it, but it's certainly bright. I haven't come across that issue still, Tom, that we talked about two shows ago. I can't remember what it was called, but where the screen kind of doesn't flicker, but it gets out of sync. Haven't had
jelly scrolling. Yeah.
Yeah. Jelly scrolling. Still hadn't had that at all. You know, the screen's smaller, but the apps, you know, fit in well. You can still do the new widget layout in iPad OS 15. So you got the widgets and you have the app library, right? So you have all the OS 15 tech onto the hardware. It's, you know, extremely fast. So I give it a real good thumbs up. I mean, the hardware is nice. The interface is nice, with the finger ID. And then, you know, for me to use it, I've really started using it for a lot of quick stuff, you know. So I wanted to get it to use it for the Pencil. The Pencil flops right on top, and like it does in the iPad Pro, the Pencil works great on it. And I was using, you know, I was using NoteShelf for my notes, and I wanted to kind of use OneNote, and that's worked really well. And now I use OneNote for everything. It goes across, you know, both my PC at work as well as my Apple devices. So I get them all in one places. And I have started sending my work colleagues my handwritten notes. And they're like, what is this? I'm like, just get used to it. After a couple times, you'll see what you'll be able to figure out what words are when you read my notes. but I'm starting to do that. And, you know, I can also just prop it up real quick and, you know, do things I used to do on the iPad Pro. Because now when I open my iPad Pro, I'm like, boy, this is a brick. It's heavy and it's big. And
that's funny.
Yeah. So now it's interesting how I've kind of adapted to this iPad mini. So visiting clients, you know, the iPad mini and the phone are in my hand now versus the iPad Pro and the phone. And it's a great device. So, you know, not to labor on to a longer review, but I'm glad I bought it. And I just bought the Wi-Fi version. I didn't need the cellular version. And it just works great. It's a nice little device and highly recommended if you want to kind of have it for a, you know, interface kind of device that you have. And it's, again, very light. Won't fit in your pocket, but I don't think it's designed to fit in your pocket. But it's certainly a nice complimentary Apple device. So that's my
bigger
review.
Pockets.
Yeah, bigger pockets.
Well, true. Or a really big belt case, right? Like they used to have.
A holster for it.
Holster, yeah.
I got a question for you. Have you used it for, like, FaceTime?
No, I haven't. I've used it for anything like that.
So you haven't tried out the center stage?
I haven't.
Okay. That is on that device, though, right? It can do that?
Yeah, I guess so. I'll try it out. I've used it for Zooms. I put the Zoom app on there, and I use it for Zooms at work. But I haven't tried it. I'll try it for FaceTime when I FaceTime my son.
Yeah, I thought it worked with Zoom too, didn't it? Center stage? No?
It might, but I'm maybe just sitting not on my desk. Yeah, so it probably hadn't done much.
Maybe it's not turned on. Yeah. Try getting up to leave your desk, see if it follows you. That would do it.
Well, if I hear a thump and I see my iPad mini hopping across the floor, you know that it's really, really a good device.
Yeah. So you got the version without the peanut butter and jelly scrolling in it. So very good.
Apparently I did. So yeah. I'm really happy with it. So I'm keeping it. And I'm not going to tell my son because he might listen to this before his birthday Monday because I did send him a birthday gift. Huh. And I just can't tell him what it is because he might listen.
Okay.
But it's not the iPad mini, by the way.
All right. Well, you need me to cut that part out? No. Okay. All right. Anything else before a notification on our watch is interrupted by another notification? Which is then interrupted by another notification that actually happened to me this past week.
Not if you set up new notifications in iOS 15, you can group them now and deliver them at different times.
No. That's fine. It's just I got all these cameras and things going off. We got people working here on our house. We're doing some remodeling and all my Nest cameras are going off or Ring cameras are going off at the same time. And then I'm getting other notifications and literally one will pop up, then another. And before you can respond to it, another one comes up. Anyway, just one of those weird things that happens with notifications. Anyway, Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.